and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup. And here we are for our, at the moment, our last hour-long show. As we told you last week, maybe, we're switching to a half hour in hopes of being a zippier operation that people will enjoy and be able to digest more easily.
And we will focus
more. Or watch
more.
It twice.
We will focus more.
Yeah, we're not looking to drop stuff. We're just looking to do a little more appealing show.
And we're glad we've got an hour this week because the Supreme Court this week called conversion therapy free speech. And it's a bad decision. But the practitioners of it can still be held liable for malpractice.
And there are some details to get into that the mainstream media did not cover, so we'll do that. Millions of us around the nation and throughout the world marched against autocracy and war in the No Kings marches.
Our demented president claims he did well with the gay vote. He
you know,
did
he,
not.
He keeps saying this. It's
the gays love me.
Yeah.
The blacks love me.
The American Medical Association reaffirmed its support for gender-affirming care, correcting the New York Times, which had claimed it was against it.
The Pennsylvania House of Representatives advanced a marriage equality bill on a bipartisan basis.
And shocker, Tennessee took a break from hating us and killed two anti-LGBTQ bills, but South Dakota and Idaho advanced a bunch.
The International Olympic Committee bans trans women entirely from Olympic competition. 100 human rights sports and scientific groups fire back.
And what they're going to do that is really heinous. The Japan High Court has finally agreed to take up the right to marriage equality.
Chicago lesbian philanthropist and a renowned veterinarian, Nan Schaffer, has died.
Schaefer? Yeah.
Has died at 72.
I looked it up.
Okay.
But maybe it's the other. Operation Mincemeat, the play about a hero corpse, won't die. Andy will tell us about that. It's continuing to shine with a new U.S. cast.
Okay. So the Supreme Court, this was an 8-1 decision.
Shocking.
So what could be wrong?
Yeah, everything.
But the court is essentially saying that this woman, Childs, I think her name is, she wanted the right to do conversion therapy. And she said, this law is preventing me from doing it. It's just talk therapy. I'm just talking. Don't I have a free speech right to do this?
This is a Colorado law, which like a number of states
20.
These days, has barred conversion therapy by professional practitioners, not religious practitioners. They can go right ahead. But professional practitioners, it's considered malpractice and so has been made illegal in those states.
Yes. And the thing is, what these therapists, and they're really not therapists, want is the right to get reimbursed by Medicaid and things like that, third-party reimbursement. They can still do this. They have the right to do as long as they don't harm anybody. But again, if they harm people now, that's one point I want to make about this. If a child is harmed by this therapy, they can still sue for malpractice.
Yeah, but as Wayne Besson, who is really one of the experts on this and who's website and work we will link to in our show note points out, it's a little late if you're waiting for the harm. You can sue, and you can sue many years later. But really what you want to do is prevent this kind of malpractice from taking place. And I don't think they can do this work under these laws in these states. If they're a religious person and certified that way, they can. And this woman, I think somewhat disingenuously, refers to herself as a religious practitioner who is helping her patients find their true religious grounding.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's the stuff that she said, I mean, it's stuff about, I just want to make them comfortable with their bodies. What the hell does that have to do with the?
Well,
you know,
they're she's
you're,
talking.
You're a boy. You should be going with a girl. All that kind of stuff.
Well, she's saying that she's arguing against transitioning.
So.
And saying that she's talking people out of. She's converting them from a trans perspective to a birth. Gender perspective.
I mean, Justice Gorsuch wrote the decision for the majority, and he said, well, Colorado may regard it as essential to public health and safety. Certainly censorious governments throughout history have believed the same. And then he said, but the First Amendment stands as a shield against any effort to enforce orthodoxy in thought or speech. Well, again, you know, we're not talking about what you believe. We're talking about what is proper professional practice.
Well, I find it just, I would laugh if it weren't so sad, but the idea that any Republican judge in this country would assert that they stand for free speech and against any kind of censorship of thought or speech in this day and age is just so heinous when books are being banned in libraries and education is being censored in schools and pro-LGBTQ or pro-diversity or pro-inclusion points of view are being wiped out across the board.
Well, the court is busy banning gender-affirming care for minors, right? But what if it is just talk therapy? Does the therapist have the right to talk it out over this under this new decision?
You mean from an anti-trans point of view?
No, I'm saying from a pro-trans. You know, you believe your pro-trans point of view. They're stopping me from affirming this child.
I think it will just take one parent going to court to say, this practitioner is supporting my kids.
Hold it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about parents who want their kids to have this therapy, but they can't get it in a lot of states now.
Well, yes, and they can't get it any medical help with transitioning.
Right.
And,
well, I'm just talking about speech because that's what this is supposedly about.
But it's very screwed up, and it's a terrible decision. And the only good thing is that you can still sue for malpractice. But also, this decision has been widely misunderstood by the mainstream press, which says in headlines, in win for right, justices reject gay therapy ban.
Or that they've declared conversion therapy, laws against it, unconstitutional.
They did not. All they said was that the lower courts had mishandled this case, and they sent the case back to the lower courts for consideration with an analysis that says they believe that it is not inappropriate to allow therapists to do this kind of conversion therapy. But it's not a decision against it.
Right.
It is just an opinion, and the case will work its way.
And by the way, this is a law that's never actually been enforced in Colorado. So Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, our hero, she said in her dissent, the single dissent, the court's decision threatens to prevent states from regulating medical care, risking grave harm to America's health and well-being. The Constitution does not pose a barrier to a reasonable regulation of harmful medical treatments just because substandard care comes via speech instead of a scalpel.
So what she's saying is it's perfectly legitimate for a state to ban care that is harmful, that is malpractice, whether it is speech or medical care or whatever.
She says it's based on a view of gender diversity that runs counter to scientific consensus. There's no empirical evidence that shows that conversion therapy works.
In fact, what the facts show is that people who have been through conversion therapy are twice as likely to have attempted suicide, and that there are all sorts of bad implications for having to suffer this, especially when you're a minor. So
the American Psychological Association is very unsettled by this decision, because they engage in talk therapy, but they have standards, and are they allowed to enforce their standards?
You know, we have, for many, many decades, we have controlled the practice of medicine, the practice of how airlines are built, the practice of all sorts of things. We regulate all sorts of work and conduct and devices and everything else in this country for safety. And for a state to say, for the safety of these minor kids, we are banning a practice, this conversion therapy that we think is deeply harmful, is legitimate.
Let me run my little videotape with Gene Hoff. 47 years ago, Gene Hoff, a psychiatrist who identified as transsexual, was interviewed by Dr. Frank Field and Lynn Redgrave. And, you know, first she said, you can't change anybody. That was prior to this. And then we have this exchange between Dr. Frank Field and Gene.
Gene, how do you want us to accept you? What can we do?
Well, it may not be necessary for you to go to a lot of trouble to learn about accepting transsexuals if you have a general principle, and that is mind your own business, I suppose. It boils down to that. If you are meddling in the life and freedom of someone else, you ought to do so very cautiously and make sure that you're entitled to do so and that they'll be better off for you having been there. Some psychiatrists learn soon, and all I hope learn eventually, that you must not meddle destructively in people's lives. We don't have as much power over people as we would like sometimes, fortunately, but we sometimes have a great deal of power to mess them up, and you have to be very careful not to do that. You leave little footprints on people's minds that are very hard to erase. And so unnecessarily. I suppose we all have to drink some water from the well of despair, but so many of us drink so liberally, and it's poured on us in some cases. It's not necessary. It's just not necessary. So if you take the position that people are all right until they have proved that they're not, you're not likely to harm me. And I'll do my best to justify that confidence.
The state of Maine put out a statement after this decision by the Supreme Court saying...
Equality of Maine, right? Or is it the state, actually?
I think it was the state.
Okay.
Saying we have this one of these laws that forbids conversion therapy by professionals, and we're going to this decision does not get rid of it, and we're going to continue to enforce it, and we're going to continue to help people sue if they have been mistreated.
Conversion therapy is still malpractice. It's still consumer fraud.
Maybe it was equality.
Survivors still have legal options to fight back against it. So don't give up. And, of course, you mentioned Wayne Besson, who has been writing about this forever, put up the little quack thing that he for his article. He wrote an essay about this that we will link to in our email about how bad this is and how we can still fight it.
And you can go to his website, truthwinsout.org. We'll put that link in the show note, too. To get a lot more information about this issue.
And as the transgender groups are saying, this decision today sends a devastating message to LGBTQI youth that who they are is something to be fixed.
Yeah.
Which is just horrendous.
It is horrendous. Well, we could talk about nothing but this for the next hour.
Yes.
We will come across other stories as we go along related to this.
Colorado State Senator Scott Wiener has introduced legislation already.
California,
that will allow survivors of conversion therapy to seek reparations for the harm that's caused to them.
Right.
And we hope other states that have
That's what Maine is saying. It's
care about
do.
This will do that.
And Colorado is saying they're going to that exists in Colorado, that opportunity, and they will continue to make that available.
And I say it's time now for more therapists to practice conversion therapy for MAGA cultists and people who believe in sky gods. Well, seriously, these are have aspects of mental illness, and they're free to speak now.
More on that as we go along, too.
All right.
Let's go to the No Kings March.
Okay.
March is 8 million people around the country, 3,000 marches, 3,300 marches, which is like 10% more than the last iteration.
That picture is from Ocean Beach, California.
Those are people making that sign.
It says, Trump must go now. And then, of course, we had two streets filled up in Times Square. Let's go to that. Wow. That was that we had, you know, 10.
That's Broadway and 7th Avenue. Hundreds of thousands of people in New York City, but also in New York City downtown at the Brookdale Assisted Living Facility. 40 people were out in front of the building holding their own little No Kings March.
And we had young people, too, in the Together We Rise contingent, at least leading it. And that was a very attractive one. In Minneapolis, Jane Fonda read a message from Becca Good in tribute to her wife, Renee Good, who was murdered by ICE agents there. But, you know, I'm reading all these Monday morning quarterbacks on Facebook. And these are prominent people in the community. Tut, tut, tut. This is just performative. Where's the strategy? Where's the organization to, you know, to do something, to get something done? I said, you come up with an idea that turns out, 8 million people in the United States. We're involved in all these other things.
We're involved
in social justice every day.
They're too young. They don't.
No. These are older people.
Well, it's.
I'm not going to name names.
Feel free. There are always naysayers who do not understand that the whole point of a movement like this is to create critical mass to force change. And that's what we did in all these movements, whether it's the civil rights movement or the anti-Vietnam War movement or the women's movement. It has always been about getting more and more and more people in the streets to demand change. And to the ballot box.
Yes.
They have had 30 special elections this year,
and we've won
them all.
We've won them all. And, you know, that's one of the things the naysayers were posting. Oh, but are you going to vote? Voting is the least you can do, Gloria Steinem used to say. And we will. And we have been.
I would say to them, are you going to vote? Have you voted?
And why didn't you get off your tail and get into the march?
Yes.
So, you know, anyway.
But it was.
It's always inspiring. It's also a warning to ICE that we can turn out people everywhere in this country.
Yeah.
And do what the people of Minnesota did.
Well, yes, but ICE is preparing for the elections, and that's a scary thought. Who knows what they're going to try to do? Along with Trump not having given up on his Save America Act, which he is still trying to push through.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is blocking the promotion of 4 Army officers to be one-star generals. They just happen to be 2 women and 2 black people who were up for this. He's the one the Pope is criticizing these days for his, Jesus.
He thanked Jesus in his press conference yesterday at the Defense Department.
And James Tallarico, the Democratic nominee for Senate, U.S. Senate in Texas, he was attacked by Hegseth's pastor, basically, who was saying he should be crucified with Christ. And it's, and Tallarico finesses this and says, I love you more than you could ever hate me. So good luck to him.
All this Jesus talk is really over the top.
Shall we talk about the mother who was profiled in People magazine? This is a trans-relevant issue. Stephanie Nicklow, her son was born with Klinefelter syndrome. He has an extra X chromosome, XXY, and he will need testosterone replacement therapy as he goes through puberty. This is gender-affirming care. Is he now going to be denied it in these states where they're banning it?
Exactly. The implications of the Supreme Court opinion or ruling are far-reaching and unanticipated. And this mother is just freaking out. She had her child tested at birth or whatever, and it came up XXY. And now she wants therapy for him.
She says he's still male. He's not intersex, but he needs this therapy.
Yep.
All right.
As a result of this, he has speech problems and other problems. He needs therapy. And will that be interfered with as gender-affirming care? Right. Now, probably not, because we're biased about what we allow and what we don't. And so the hospitals or whatever will say, right, oh, well, that's good gender-affirming right care, because that's taking him to the binary.
Right. All right. Donald Trump, you may have heard of him. You know, he was asked in an interview about the new Ayatollah being gay. It's a silly story or whatever it is. Maybe it's true. But he doesn't answer it. He just says he claimed he won the gay vote in the 2024 election, or said he did very well. He did terribly. Only about 14% of us went with him, which is minuscule when you're doing this kind of polling.
Still shameful.
Yes, but it still makes us. We were the only, I'll say this again, LGBTQ people were the only constituency that moved farther away from Trump in 2024.
I'm paying attention.
All right.
They're having trouble, the Trump administration, nominating or approving the nomination of a new CDC director.
That's insane. We used to really care about this, but I don't care about anything that they do because I don't believe anything
they do. Anything that blocks them is fine. But she's having this whole thing with RFK Jr. where they can't agree on vaccines or whatever.
Trump's DOJ has launched an investigation into California prisons over the fact that they allow trans women to be housed in facilities that align with their gender identity. You can't be too careful about this.
The CPAC conference, which I thought was going to be bigger and louder, nobody showed up. Look at all those empty seats.
And when Matt Schlapp, the sex predator, who was the chairman, said, "Yeah, how many want to see impeachment hearings?" All of a sudden, people started cheering.
Yes,
we do. Because he's,
why did he even say that?
Because he's an idiot. The AMA, American Medical Association, has reaffirmed its support for gender-affirming medical care, saying that the New York Times, as usual, has mischaracterized their position.
Everything these days. Bill Maher is getting the Mark Twain Prize after all.
Who cares?
I'm horrified. Horrified.
Trump is, or isn't Trump giving it to him, basically?
Well,
it's a Kennedy Center Award, isn't it?
They've been, you know, they were got friendly and then they fought and then they.
I have not watched him in years.
Me either.
Because he's so vile.
Billy Porter, on the other hand, is complaining that his work is drying up because authoritarian governments go after the arts first, because the arts have the power to reach inside of people and change the molecular structure from the inside out. So,
Billy, I think you're still welcome on Broadway,
I think so too.
Blacklisted actors were back in the day,
right,
in the McCarthy era.
Oh, and I have to laugh at Trump saying, "No, I have to be able to build my ballroom because I'm putting a big bunker underneath that's going to be proofed against drones and whatever." This is exactly what Rudy Giuliani did with the World Trade Center. After the first bombing in 1993, he said, "Oh, I'm going to put a command center in the World Trade Center." And people just looked at him like, "You have lost your mind."
Right.
And sure enough, that was one of the first things to go.
There's already a deep bunker under the White House where they go way down.
Yeah, and at the place in the...
Whatever. Let's give them some good news.
It's just asking for trouble to do that.
In Pennsylvania, states that have laws against same-sex marriage, even though you're able to get married there because of the court decisions, but they are trying to change those laws. Pennsylvania, the House voted. They have a narrow Democratic majority, but they got a bipartisan vote. Now, it goes to the Senate, which is Republican-controlled. Will it get to the floor? But I think it will. And they also passed a resolution designating March 17th as Bayard Rustin Day in the Commonwealth, the great black leader who was a gay man.
And in Tennessee, the Senate has killed two anti-LGBTQ bills. One that would have forbidden recognition of same-sex marriage by businesses, and another that would back non-discrimination non-discrimination rules in the workplace, and the Tennessee Senate killed them.
It's still the hate state. Tennessee Library Board voted to fire its director after she refused to remove more than 100 LGBTQ plus books from the system shelves. She's getting a lot of support from PEN America's Freedom to Read program. She says, "I won't comply."
Well, the chair of the library board, not only did they want her to move the books to the adult section, the chair of the board wanted her to supply the names and addresses of everybody who checked out those books.
Yeah, she said she wouldn't do that either.
But they're going to hand over the names of Jews at the University of Pennsylvania to protect them.
Let's get a list going. All right. In Florida, Democrats on Monday officially claimed a second upset in the recent special elections. Ann referred to the fact that we've won all 30 of these around the country. Yep. And these are often working class people who have risen up and are running. It reminds on MS Now, they were showing this working class guy from Staten Island who voted for Trump three times and said he's betrayed us. And I'm in the march now, against him.
There's a woman who said the same thing, who they kept running, who was quite interesting. And still in Florida, the State University Board of Governors has removed, we told you they were fighting over the sociology curriculum.
Yes.
They have removed sociology from the core curriculum and made it an elective because it promotes social and political advocacy.
Yeah.
Don't get active, kids.
So Kansas is the government there is very much against us, except for the governor. But they are putting up billboards that said, God made trans people. Because this is a state now where trans people were told, turn in your driver's licenses if it has the gender not associated with your birth, and they're being taken away.
And nearby in Arizona, Governor Hobbs, Katie Hobbs, Democrat, has vetoed the naming of a section of highway for Charlie Kirk.
She said this is supposed to go through a nonpartisan board,
not
the legislature.
Right. And earlier she had vetoed the putting his name on a license plate.
To raise money.
Yes, for Turning
Point.
For
right-wing causes.
For Turning Point. But in New York City, the city has acceded to the requests of Stephen Love Menendez, our little hero.
Of the Stonewall National Monument.
Yeah, and put up a Progress Pride flag there on the city flagpole, not the federal flagpole.
Right.
But it looks quite lovely.
Yeah. In South Dakota, Governor Larry Rudin signed two anti-trans bills, touting them as South Dakota values bills. These will ban legal recognition of trans identities. This is so stark. Ban recognition of their identities and require people in the state to use facilities that align with their sex at birth. I mean, again, we showed you the bearded guy who says, I have to go into women's rooms now, the bearded trans man. It's nuts.
And in Idaho, where that guy testified, they went ahead and passed vicious bills that are going to criminalize people doing things like that.
First-time violations of these laws there result in a misdemeanor charge up to a year in jail. Second violation, 5 years, would be a felony published up to 5 years. But it gets worse. A fourth violation would mean life in prison.
Exactly.
Life in prison.
For using the bathroom. All right. In Louisville, Kentucky, the government has paid a photographer $800,000 to cover their legal fees. She sued because a non-discrimination law there, she said, was infringing her free speech to not photograph something.
Right. We told you the saga of a judge in Syracuse, New York, Felicia Pitts Davis. She was disciplined for refusing to marry a same-sex couple, but after going through an elaborate procedure, they said, well, there's extenuating circumstances here and you can keep your job. They found that she severely undermined public confidence in her impartiality.
It's a complicated story. She had performed same-sex weddings before. Then she announced a little religious qualm.
A little religious qualm. She said, my religion doesn't let me do this.
And then came a day when there were two marriages scheduled, one heterosexual, one homosexual. And she ended up, and her brother died the day before.
All right.
And so she got confused about what she was supposed to do. And she did the heterosexual marriage.
She did say she regretted the disruption caused to the couple.
And she also said that in the future, if
I gotta.
Yes.
See, here's the thing.
Kim Davis.
You don't have to do weddings at all. That's been the policy.
Yes.
If you don't want to do gay weddings, you can't do any weddings. Yeah. But if you're going to do straight weddings, you got to do gay weddings.
Look, I'm not defending her reluctance, but it's just a little more complicated, and she's a little more reasonable than the Kim Davises of this world.
In New York, a non-binary doctor is suing the Health and Hospitals Corporation for a pattern of gender-based discrimination. This is New York, and there's still a lot of people holding positions of power that are really mean to these people and you know, refer to them as perverts and things and, you know, et cetera. So we'll see how that goes.
So the really ugly story is the Chicago Bulls basketball player.
Jaden Ivey,
24 years old. Now, he's clearly disturbed. He has a lot of problems mentally. And he was raised by a single mother who is a basketball coach of the Notre Dame women's basketball team. Great closeness to her. And then he ended up playing for the Detroit Pistons. And then he got traded and he got injured. And then he started posting things online about the Bulls, his new team, holding Pride Nights.
Which he calls celebrating unrighteousness, according to his religion.
And he goes on and on about it. And when confronted about it, he continues to say it. And he calls the Bulls liars for claiming that Pride Nights are legitimate. And so they finally have ditched him.
Well, he's got 200,000 followers, so they don't like the message that he's spreading and how it reflects on the team.
Yeah.
Now, people write in and say, look,
what happened to free speech?
Well, no. What about all these guys who engage in sexual misconduct and other things only get suspended and they don't get fired, you know? And
well, he was deemed to have caused real harm. And this is a private organization. It's not the government censoring speech. And he seems to really have some, I'm going to say, mental disturbance, because he will not get off this hobby horse.
Right.
And he's only getting worse.
All right.
I think we're going to hear other things from him.
Okay. Let's go to Los Angeles, where the home of a – they've declared a home a cultural monument. This belonged to Morris Kite. Can you put the picture of the house up? It's a very modest place, but it's where a lot of the foundational things in the movement out there happened. It is where
– in L.A.
Yeah, he founded a chapter of the Gay Liberation Front there, back there. He was there from 67 to 1974. It created the Christopher Street West Gay Pride Parade and the Gay Community Services Center, among other milestones. So it's already been on the National Register of Historic Places. This is the Los Angeles City Council approving it by a unanimous vote. The Morris Kite home. So they can't touch this home. I knew him. He was a great guy. In the beginning, he used his own home. His own home phone number would be the gay hotline.
Right.
I remember when my number was in the Village Voice as a contact for a gay group. You're taking a risk there. But that. What else did we didn't have offices.
Our contact information is online, Andy.
I know. All right.
And we want to honor and mourn the death of a great Chicago figure. Now, I say I looked this up for, pronounce this name. You found it differently. Nan Schaefer or Schaffer.
Yes.
Philanthropist. But there she is with a rhinoceros. She maybe not single-handedly, is given credit for helping save the Sumatran rhinoceros. She talked quite eloquently about the need to preserve diversity in the human and animal kingdoms.
Well, she said one of the great tragedies of the 21st century will be humanity's homogeneity.
Yeah.
And, no matter how hard we try, we cannot build nature.
We have Stephen Miller trying to build homogeneity in the United States,
right,
to the detriment.
But
of all of us.
Kinds of things that she's really Tracy Baim, of Windy City Times said,
yeah,
she was mainly responsible for the paper, in terms of her philanthropy.
Yeah,
but she's
and a dozen other organizations. She was in the Chicago LGBTQ Hall of Fame.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars to these organizations.
Yeah. She had a long battle with cancer.
Died at 72, survived by her wife, Karen Dixon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Losing too many.
Aaron Rourke has made history as the first openly gay WWE singles champion. He wrestles as evil gay. Now, somebody prior to this was on a team that won who was gay. Rourke also uses the nickname the Dime Piece. So he's the first solo title holder, and he's quite colorful.
Okay.
But you got to be in that business.
Moving on to international news.
Yes.
Well, the big news internationally is this decision by the International Olympic Committee to just absolutely forbid any participation by trans women in any women's sport.
Essentially, the question that trans people are going to have to ask, or everybody's going to have to answer, is, are you now or have you ever been a man?
It goes beyond that, because you have, for instance, Caster Semenya, who the great track star from South Africa, who is not a man, who is a born woman, but had an elevated testosterone
naturally,
level.
According to God's plan.
Yes, and has been through years and years of having to be told you have to lower your testosterone level, you're not allowed to compete. And this is someone who is not trans. And as we say over and over and over again, you don't tell men who happen to be physically gifted, Michael Phelps with his extra long arms, that they have to cut their arms down to be more equally competitive. So what they're going to do is they're going to test every female competitor in the Olympics genetically, looking for something called the SRY test, looking for some evidence of a Y chromosome in the tested woman. Now, we've just told the story of a kid born here who has two X's and a Y.
Right.
Genetic composition can be variable and can have variable consequences. And to put all this on forced genetic testing of every female competitor is insane and discriminatory and very, very dangerous.
Well, it's driven by the new head of the IOC, Kirsty Coventry,
yeah.
Who is, set on this, who says, you know, it is absolutely clear that it would not be fair for biological males to compete in the female category. And in addition, some sports would simply not be safe.
Yeah, this is called the protection of the female category in Olympic sport.
So a spokesperson for Humans of Sport, Payoshni Mitra, said this kind of brutal language doesn't protect sports. It polices women's bodies. It fuels suspicion, invites public scrutiny, and puts already vulnerable athletes at risk.
I'd like all women to just drop out of the Olympics.
Okay.
I'm not holding my breath.
And, you know, 100 human rights, sports, and scientific groups are criticizing this. Mandatory genetic sex testing and rigid biological criteria as a condition for participation violates fundamental and universal human rights.
It's really horrendous. I hope we get past this at some point, but it's so depressing. You know, there's
Well, Nikki Hiltz, who was a non-binary trans plus runner,
yeah.
who was a bronze medalist and apparently wouldn't be excluded under this criteria.
No, because they are not taking any kind of gender transitioning drugs.
Well, she just calls the policy effing stupid.
Yeah. I think that sums it up.
Yeah.
Freedom House put out a report called Freedom in the World in 2026 and reported that global freedom is declining for the last 20 years related to this.
I blame the internet.
In 2025, the report says 54 countries have backslid on freedom. Only 35 have improved.
Well, we're looking forward to Hungary turning around this month in its election.
If they have a free and fair election.
Well, it won't be completely normal hours.
The former Irish leader, Leo Varadkar, has warned that Europe is going backwards fast.
Yeah. Well, in some places. Look at Spain, you know.
Well, Portugal is considering a rollback of trans rights restrictions
yes.
on care for minors
yes,
and
are.
Adults.
Staying on the sports thing with the a community of tennis players in Las Vegas, they've launched a trans-inclusive league in the wake of the Tennis Association mm-hmm. banning trans women. They're just going to play and they really thought their turnout was going to be 20 people. They got 100 players.
Good.
People want to play sports, and they're going to play sports, and they'll form new associations. F your Olympics.
My point exactly. In the UK, the Girl Guides, who are the equivalent of the Girl Scouts there, have been ordered to get rid of all trans girls and leaders by September 6th.
And this is just nuts. Trans boys, trans men, and non-binary people who were assigned female at birth will not be affected by the change and will be allowed to join and serve in volunteer roles. I mean, it's nuts.
It's just outright bigotry, ignorance, cruelty. Attach any adjectives.
Well, maybe
like.
They're getting a little less cruel in Japan. We don't know. But the Supreme Court has finally agreed.
They're just a little behind.
They've finally agreed, the Supreme Court there, to consider arguments about whether the Constitution on marriage and equality require the country to allow same-sex marriage. That a lot of districts in
yes.
Japan have allowed it.
Yes.
So the Supreme Court's finally going to say something about it.
Well, in the United States, you know, state by state, it was legalized. And then finally that created the wave that went to the former Supreme Court that had more sense that got us a good decision. In India,
yeah.
there's a bill that would get rid of trans self-determination. A medical board would be empowered to decide people's legitimacy. And there was a big demonstration.
You're still
going to
allow the Hijra and the Aravani, which are terms that have been used for hundreds of years,
yep,
for a third gender community. But there were massive demonstrations,
yeah,
against what they're doing there. This is the most populous country in the world.
Yes.
So it's important. And they've gone far to the right.
Well, in Finland, a Christian Democrat member of parliament has been fined 1,800 euros for inciting hatred by publishing a pamphlet that said homosexuality is a developmental disorder.
Well,
he should get together with Jaden Ivey, the basketball player.
Well, do you want to talk about the ugliness in Canada?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Well, in Burlington, Ontario, a lesbian couple were fostering with the intent to adopt two young children. And the younger child, I think they're both boys, called the police to say that his older sibling was being horribly mistreated and tortured by this lesbian.
The women
couple
alluded to themselves as being the boys' jailers. They are, but they finally found them out. It's just horrendous.
They killed the child.
Yes.
Who was 12 years old.
Yes.
So a lovely picture of the two of them, but underneath, really,
yes,
monsters.
We tell you about the bad gays, too.
Yeah.
All right. There's a good gay. Peter Thompson, he was the foremost West End stage publicist. I dealt with his office for 50 years. Not me 50 years, but he's the guy who launched Andrew Lloyd Webber stuff, Cameron McIntosh, the mega musicals, but also little shows like Another Country moving to the West End. He would make stars out of people like Daniel Day-Lewis in that production, Colin Firth, Kenneth Branagh, and Rupert Everett. So, I mean, he was not just a brilliant publicist, but he had a lot to do. He would go to a rehearsal or something of a show, and he would say, "It's not going anywhere. It's got to be a hit." He would know, and he made these things happen.
Well, I would like to thank a Canadian.
And he was a gay guy, survived by his partner of 44 years.
Not gay that I know of, but new hero, the premier of Manitoba, Canada, an indigenous man who said about what's going on in Iran, "Let the Epstein class fight the Epstein war."
Right.
Nice.
Oh, what a mess.
Yeah.
It's destroying the world economy. Trump is trying to wash his hands of the whole thing.
And
even
we're
though he
taping,
started it.
We tape on Wednesday afternoon, so we'll be watching with interest tonight to see what he has to say, what lies he will tell, what attempts he will make to manipulate the news and the people.
AIDS news?
Yeah.
Well, a design has finally been approved after a 10-year campaign for an AIDS memorial in London. People who lost their lives to AIDS. It's going to be sited in Bloomsbury. It's the brainchild of a playwright, Ash Kotak, who was himself HIV positive and lost two partners to AIDS.
I know you know him, but I don't quite get the symbolism of this memorial.
Maybe you have to be there. I'm looking forward to seeing it there in Bloomsbury.
Well, perhaps you will explain it to me when you...
I'm not fond of our own AIDS memorial here in New York.
But
it is a gathering place for us. We had Larry Kramer's memorial service there.
We just had a gathering in honor of Mark Milano.
And the 39th anniversary of ACT UP.
Yes.
So it is our space.
I'm in favor of a space, but one thing about the New York memorial is there are a lot of sayings carved into
You can't read it.
But no names of anybody who died of HIV.
Yeah, not
crazy.
Not my favorite design. It's designed to death.
Yes.
All right. Entertainment news.
Wait, one more.
Oh, okay.
In AIDS news.
AIDS.
Stephen Lewis, Canadian.
Oh,
he died. He was the UN special envoy for HIV/AIDS to Africa. He died at 80 of cancer in Toronto. He was a huge hero in AIDS work around the world, and great loss. He was really dedicated to grassroots work. He started something called grandmother groups in Africa and elsewhere, where he would get the local, matriarchs involved in helping people prevent or be treated for HIV. Stephen Lewis, a hero.
Okay. All right. Grey's Anatomy?
Well, I like these little stories. So Grey's Anatomy, not a show I've watched, but they had a couple on the show who played a lesbian couple on the show.
Caterina Scorsone and E.R. Fightmaster.
And it turns out that now in real life, they are a couple.
They've come out.
Yes. They played Dr. Amelia Shepherd and Dr. Kay Bartley. And now they have announced that they are together. Congratulations.
Scorsone was previously married to musician Rob Giles, with whom she has shares three children, while Fightmaster has gained recognition for roles that highlight non-binary representation in television.
Great.
All right. I went back to see Operation Mincemeat. This is the, you know.
Love this show.
This is the show about how in World War II, the British intelligence were trying to throw Hitler off the track about where we're going to invade in Italy. He thinks we're going to go into Sicily. Let's make him think we're going to Sardinia. So they stuff a dead body with papers that say, we're going to Sardinia, and they sink it off the coast of Spain. This is a true story. And so, and Hitler falls for it. So they make a musical about this. It's already a movie with Colin Firth.
Yeah.
But now they've switched to it's a musical. It's very zippy. Now they have an all-American cast. I mean, the British that did it, they did it from the Fringe to Broadway, and they did it for a year on Broadway after doing it in London. So it's really lost none of its charm and verve. I highly recommended it, and it's already been extended into next year. So Operation Mincemeat at the Golden Theater.
And I got together with out-of-town friends last week who went to see Oh Mary with
John Cameron Mitchell?
Yes, and they loved it. And,
oh, good.
Just thought it was terrific, hilarious. So evidently that's going strong, holding up. I'm wondering whether I should go back for a third time to see Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph is taking the role of Mary.
That has got to be
fantastic.
Lincoln
is portrayed in this too, but they just call him Mary's husband.
Yes. We skipped over a couple of things earlier.
Oh, please.
So, see, we have extra time. We can do the show in half an hour next week. I want to thank the judge who made Trump stop building the ballroom.
Oh, please.
Saying that he's a caretaker, not the owner. That was great.
Well, you know, of course, the Supreme Court saying he can't be guilty of crimes committed while he's in office is giving him the green light to do all this stuff.
The fact that he can't be convicted doesn't mean that he is allowed to do these things. And another judge said that he...
Well, he started an illegal war that has, destroyed the world.
Yeah. Well, we're going after him for that, too. And a judge has ruled that his defunding of NPR and PBS was illegal.
Well, you know, we're taping this while the Supreme Court is arguing the birthright citizenship case, where Trump went to court, first president of the United States ever to do so. And he might have had a stroke during that thing, listening to those arguments, because he gonna lose.
Well, one can only hope. We cannot count on this Supreme Court
you
to
can't
do anything
totally,
logical.
But they were all pretty skeptical.
Well, here we start with this Supreme Court opinion on conversion therapy.
Which they had to do on the Trans Day of Visibility.
Exactly.
Those MFs.
Yes.
They're just disgusting. Of course, I'm sure they have – maybe they do have an idea.
Yeah. But on this NPR PBS decision, they say that, the defunding was a violation of the First Amendment. And, it's almost destroyed. Is it too late to get this decision? And does it coincide with these SCOTUS thing? The EEOC has ruled that transgender federal employees can be denied coverage for gender-affirming care. HHS is already denying Medicaid and Medicare coverage for transgender employees.
Well, the Trump government has decided that trans people do not exist.
Well, they want them to not exist.
Well, they say there are only two genders in this country.
Yes.
By executive order, by fiat, which is a lie.
Well, should you show up and assert the opposite, they say, we're getting rid of you. That's the whole thing. All right, so we are.
And the Democrats have been holding firm on this in the Congress.
Shockingly.
They have been.
Yes.
You know.
Shocking. Very proud of them. But, you know, Trump is trying to work around it, do a reconciliation
bill. He keeps saying, come on. It's a 90-10 issue, meaning 90% support my position. Well, of course, if you read the polls, you know, 75% don't support your stupid war, your horrible war.
All right. Do we have any medical updates this week?
Well, we both got shot this week, didn't we?
We did. I got a big cortisone shot in my rear end. I'm lying on my stomach to get it because I've had hip and glute issues for the last few months. And I want to be able to play golf. And so I got a big shot. Six people around me looking at my naked rear end.
That's what they do.
Well, some of them were in training. And I have a feeling one of the trainees was giving me the shot.
I only got shot to affect my hip with the corticosteroid at L2, which is a little bit up the spine, but it's connected to the hip. And this is to help me with my mobility. Oh, by the way, I just read something about glutes. They're very important.
Yes,
and for those of us who sit
that.
On our rears all day, we need to do things to get them going. And, of course,
I'm
bracing myself for my prostate operation. I'll be losing most of that on April 16th. I have a little anxiety about it, but I've got to get it done.
Hey,
it's not cancer. It's just, the discomfort of, of course, you don't have to worry about that. You may have to worry about a lot of other things.
I sometimes joke about that. But no, that's not my my problem. But, we're moving along.
And I'll be doing
older.
It on a Thursday so that I won't miss any shows.
Isn't he a hero? So we have been doing this show as a 58-minute long show for quite a few years.
Since 2004, Manhattan Neighborhood Network came to us and said, there's so much happening, we want you to do an hour. And we didn't know what to do with an hour at that time.
Yeah.
And we had the guests every week for like years because we had to fill the time.
Until one week, someone didn't show up and we just talked. But before that, we did it as a half-hour show.
Yes.
And we are...
Or even less under the gay cable network.
Well, that's way back. But now we think, people are into Instagram. They don't have an attention span beyond about 10 seconds. And we want to produce a product that people...
More digestible.
And find appealing.
And we'll focus it more. And
watch it twice if you need to.
We won't yammer so much. Yeah. And we will link to the story.
We will yammer because people like the yammering. Yeah. And I like the yammering. And I think you do too.
But we'll focus more.
We will... if we don't have time to explain a story at length, we will put a link in our show note. So you must go to our website, gayusatv.org, sign up for the weekly show note. We'll be back next week, but we'll only do 28 minutes.